It's a Zion Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. So there's a star. It's about, I don't know, 12 lines from the bottom. There's a star there. It says Tana Rabbanan. Second word on the line. See ya.
How many lines did you do?
About 12 lines from the bottom. It's at the beginning of the line.
Tana Rabbanan is the beginning of the line?
No, Lashem Inon. The second word is Tana Rabbanan. All right, so I'm going to start off with an interesting little scientific discussion. I guess you call it that. Tanabanam. Kol shetashmisho bayom nola bayom. Kol shetashmisho balayla nola balayla. So, the Gemara has an assumption that an animal that mates during the day will give birth during the day, and an animal that only will mate at night only gives birth at night. Okay? That's a hard and fast rule. Kol shetashmisho bayom nola bayom. Kol shetashmisho balayla nola balayla. Rashi says nola bayom nigvot of yolda bayom. So the females will give birth during the day. Kol shetashmisho bayom 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 balayla. But if the mating can happen either day or night, nola bayom 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 balayla. So then they can also give birth day or night. Kol shetashmisho bayom nola bayom zotana golet. So what's the example of the daytime mater and birther? That is a tarnagol, that's a chicken. Kol shetashmisho balayla nola balayla zo atlaf, which most interpret as being a bat. So the bat is the example of the nighttime. Kol shetashmisho ben bayom uven balayla adam. And what's the example of the that mates be either daytime or nighttime? That is a person. If I called a dummy, anything like it, which would seem to me like other mammals or something, like, yeah, other mammals, which aren't as limited to day or night. Now, obviously, we're not really talking about anything that produces, you know, many animals produce through eggs, but not in a way that's fertilized as directly as it is within chickens, right? There's outside fertilization, there's semi-fertilization, this isn't for the insects. So most animals, it's day or night, but some animals specifically to day or day or night. But in our case, we're most concerned about the chicken, and that is daytime. Amar. Okay, fine. We established this concept, this umdana, that if it mates during the day, then it gives birth during the day. Lamai nafkamina. Okay, like, why are you telling us this? Who cares? Look at the Rebbe Mary Berei de Rav Kahana. This is important because of the statement of Mary, Rav Mary, son of Rav Kahana. To Amar, he says, Damar Rav Mary Berei de Rav Kahana, Badak bekana shotarna golden. If you check the kana shotarna golden, right, if you check the chicken coop, may Erev Yantif. So let's say you go in Erev Yantif and you check the chicken coop. Velo matzah babeitzah, you don't see any eggs there. Okay? It's an eggless chicken coop. Ulamach rishkim, the next morning you wake up, you go early and you check the chicken coop. Umatzah babeitzah. And now you find an egg. So when was this egg laid? Was it laid on Yantif or before Yantif? Now if it's before Yantif, it's muteres. You could eat it. If it was laid on Yantif, now it's nolad and it's muksab. So when was this egg laid? Velo baduk. Wait a second. The Gemara says, "What do you mean? You just told us you checked it the night. You checked it the day before on erev yantif, which would seem to mean right before yantif. Maybe it's, you know, not as yantif is coming in, but it's close to it. You checked erev yantif. There was no egg. You established some sort of chazaka. You'd think there should be a chazaka that this is an eggless chicken coop." So why is this a question? Of course it should be usher, because you checked, it wasn't there, it must have been late at night. So Amar, lo bada yafa yafa. So the answer, maybe you didn't check so well, right? Maybe, okay, you checked, you peeked in, you looked around, but did you dig into the hay? Did you pick up all the hens and check what's underneath? Meaning you did a cursory check, maybe. Vafu lo bada yafa, and even if you did check well, Amar yatzta ruba v'chazra. But maybe if you did check well, maybe there's another way that it still could be mutter.
Is badak yafa different from badak yafa yafa?
I think about the yuffa yuffas for effect. It's like, you know, maybe you checked, but you didn't really check it. But even if you checked well, yeah, I mean, I think it's...
I guess it means very well.
It means very well, but when it contrasts it, well, when it says, I feel about the yuffa, even if you did check well, I guess it really means the same thing. Yeah, I think it's just for effect. So maybe... So maybe the chicken laid the egg, laid most of the egg, it went back into the hen, and then laid it again. So look at Rashi. Let's see the Rashi say we missed. Meir of Yantif, fourth line from the bottom. Meir of Yantif. Bein HaShemashos, Deshuv Lo Yada Ela B'Layla. So Rashi assumes, what does it mean they checked it at Erev Yantif? You checked Bein HaShemashos, meaning you didn't check at 1 p.m., you checked after the sun had already set. So then, it's going to be considered yontif. And that's why you should assume it's a surah. So, hishkim kodem el tashachar. So when you check it, you have to check it also really early. Because if you check the chicken coop at noon, so then that's also going to change the equation. No, but yom. Okay, so we'll get to that in a second. Amar yasaruba v'chazir havei v'afagav d'milzad l'shchichahi. So that's not a normal thing. And when we went through the biology of how eggs are laid, so we talked about that the egg is for about 4 hours in the final stage in the egg, in the shell hardening phase, right? So it's about 4 hours in the shell hardening phase. And but the commercial says, well, sometimes, you know, it's almost ready, kind of goes out, but doesn't fully go out, goes back in. So it's not as simple to say, well, it's just the egg is laid and that's it. So that's not a common occurrence. So even though it's not a common occurrence, see, migo de pshitalan de enio led des belaila talinan ba. So what the Gemara is saying is, well, we have a lot of contrasting chazakas and umdanas here, right? In one sense, we have the chazaka, well, you checked the chicken coop, it wasn't there. But wait a second, you're going to tell me that the egg was laid at night? We already have an umdina that chickens don't lay eggs at night, they lay eggs during the day. So which one is it? So do you follow the check, or do you follow the assumption that we make that chickens only lay eggs during the day? So one of them has to be, or one of them has to be wrong, but you have contrasting umdinas and chazakas. Now, an umdina is kind of a chazaka, right? I mean, you have this from time to time in the Gemara, where the Gemara will have some sort of biological or psychological law, rule, that it just establishes, and that's the rule. And that rule has a very strong... So in halacha, we often have these umdinas. Like, an umdina is like a principle. And it could be a psychological principle, it could be a physical principle, but when the Gemara has these principles, they're pretty ironclad. So one example is like when it comes to gittin. So when it comes to gittin, the Gemara has this assumption that a woman would rather be married than single and might even want to be in a less than perfect marriage than single. And that psychological umdana plays out in a number of different cases in how we assume whether a woman wants to be married, whether she wants to be divorced, can we assume what her intent was. So when we have an umdana, a psychological umdana, we just take it for a fact unless we know clearly otherwise. So it's not. So here we have two chazakas, right? We have the chazaka that the farmer goes into the chicken coop before Yantif, sees no eggs. So we have to assume the egg was not laid before Yantif. But we have the other umdana that that chickens lay eggs during the day and not at night. So now we have these. So this umdana is really a chazaka. Has this power of a chazaka. So we have contrasting chazakas. Something's off here. So there's a few possibilities. One possibility is that, well, he didn't check the chicken coop very well. And since he didn't check the chicken coop very well, therefore, we don't really have a full chazaka. We haven't really established the fact that there was no egg there before Yantif. That's one way of doing it. What Rashi is saying here is that, with that in mind, let's see this Rashi again. So Amar Yatzter Ruba V'Chazra Havei. So then Rashi says, well, maybe the egg was laid before Yantif, but it went back into the chicken. It went, most of it came out before Yantif. Then it went back into the chicken. That's why he didn't see it when he went to check the chicken coop. And then the rest of it came out. And then it came out fully and stayed out after Yontif. So Rashi says, why would this be answered? That's such a crazy scenario. Why would the Gemara say, well, that answers our question? That doesn't answer anything. That's such a, you know, with a concept of milsa, the lashchicha, things that are not common, we don't really bring them into the equation, right? Because it's too unusual. So why would this suddenly be a factor in how we should paskin? So Rashi says, afgad dimsa shchichi, mida de pshita land enyules belaila talinen ba. So it's a tiebreaker. We're saying is we've got these two chazakas, right? Well, he checked the chicken coop. There was no egg. Yeah, but chickens only lay eggs during the day. So we need something to push it one side over the other. What's the pushing? Well, since we can come up with a scenario where the chicken could have laid the egg before Yontif, and yet he could have checked the chicken coop and not seen it, even if he checked it, you know, perfectly. He did a professional bedikas chametz on this chicken coop, didn't find an egg. Since we have a scenario we can come up with that will allow for this all to work, that will be the tiebreaker, and therefore if he sees an egg laid when he enters the chicken coop Yontif morning, he can say it's mutter. I can eat the egg. That makes sense?
One more time, the tiebreaker is?
The tiebreaker is the scenario. The scenario that maybe the chicken laid most of the egg before Yontif, then the egg went back into the chicken because it like, wasn't fully out yet. And then, so when he came to check the chicken coop, he didn't see the egg because it was back in the chicken. He didn't know that it had already been mostly laid. And since Rove was laid, once Rove is out, it's considered late. And then the chicken...
You couldn't concoct some scenario the other way around?
Give me one. So you need a scenario
You need a scenario consistent with the...
You need a scenario... Well, there can't really be a scenario
where
he saw that if he's... Saying, since you have to prove the negative, well, prove it wasn't there. So by checking the chicken coop but not seeing the egg, he's proving it's not there.
Right, if you could prove it, if you saw it elsewhere, but it's not just one thing. He said, "Prove it there," meaning
yeah. Any scenario where he saw the egg beforehand, it's already mutter. So you can't, you know. Well, I saw it before, and then I lost it. Then I found it. So this is the only. The scenario that will be a tiebreaker will almost have to be a scenario where the egg was laid before Yontif, but they didn't see it. Mm-hmm. Right. So therefore, that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying this is basically like a tiebreaker. So therefore, it's not really a very strong case. If that's all we had, we wouldn't have very much. But since we have these conflicting points of view, these conflicting chazakas, so that's the tiebreaker. Okay.
If you've got two sort of strong tiebreakers, but which cancel each other out, and then you have a weak one, right, which seems to carry the day.
Right. Which is a little bit of a weird concept, saying, well... If it's 50-50... And so now you give me a scenario that makes it 51-49. Should that be the way we determine every case? It's like, really? I mean, that's what we're saying. Basically, we have a 50-50 tiebreaker. So if we can sway it even 1%, if we can come up with a scenario that will happen even 0.5%, and now we can make it 50.5 to 49.5, now I've got a rove. Now I've got an assumption. It's a weak assumption. It's a barely better than 50% assumption. But we got a paskin. We need to come up with it. Mm-hmm. We need to do something. So that's enough to push it over. So it's a very interesting Rashi, that he understands the Gemara that we think that way. Okay. Now it gets more complicated. That was the easy part. Because Rabbi Yochanan. So five lines from the bottom. First word in line, because Rabbi Yochanan. Eini. Is that true? Meaning, is that the whole story? Amar Rav Yosi ben Sheol. Rav Yosi ben Sheol says, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Badek Bekana Shotanagolis, Merv Yandif, Velo matzah b'beitza. So if someone checks the chicken coop on Erev Yontif, and we're assuming, meaning already after sundown, so that there's no time where he could have left and the egg was laid and still daytime. He checks it already, it's night after sundown. And he doesn't find an egg. So, wait a second, we have another price that we're saying of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of Rav, that the same scenario says Asura. So wait a second, we just said it's Mutter Nazar, so why the difference? Hasam besafna ma'ara. What does that mean? So look at Rashi. V'yoledes af belayla. Okay, Rashi didn't explain. Safna ma'ara means it's warm by the ground, meaning it's an unfertilized egg. So what the Gemara is saying is, the rule we had established originally, that animals that will only mate during the day, will only lay eggs or give birth during the day, that is for animals that mate, meaning fertilized eggs. But what about unfertilized eggs? And like we discussed, many of them, most of the eggs that are laid are not fertilized. So what happens to those eggs? So those, you don't have that concept anymore of mating during the day, giving birth during the day, because there was no mating. This is just an egg, and the eggs can form at any point. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, for an unfertilized egg, you'd lose the 50-50, because you'd have the bedika, you checked, and you didn't see an egg, and you don't have the counter of, well, we have to assume it was laid during the day, because we don't have to assume that anymore. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rav, in that scenario, you would just say, you'd have to say, it's a surah, because you'd have to assume it was late at night, late on Yontif itself. Ihachi, the Rav Mari Nami, Eima Me'ara Basafna, but the Ika Zachar Bahada, but the Ika Zachar. So how are you going to ever differentiate? Meaning, you can't tell, right? The egg is laid. You can't tell from first looking at it if it was fertilized or not. Now, later, obviously, you can if it starts growing. But that day one, you can't tell anything. The first day of the chick's growth is microscopic. You don't know. There's nothing to see. There's nothing you can tell. So, how are you ever going to be able to tell how to treat the egg? Is it us or a mutter? So he says, well, it depends if there's a rooster nearby. If there's a rooster nearby, then you assume it was
fertilized.
It was fertilized. If there's no rooster nearby, then you have to assume it wasn't. No, again, we have a principle. This is what you mean. Just because there's a rooster in the area doesn't mean that every single egg from every single hen, let's say you've got 500 hens in one rooster, just because you have a rooster in the area doesn't mean that every single egg is fertilized. That's he says, no, the Gemara says, no. We assume every single egg. Look at Rashi. Ihachi diyer shalos b'lai derav mari. Hei chashari ema me'er esav yada. Okay, that's from before. So the Gemara says, no, again, we're going to create an umtana. We're going to create an assumption. Now, this is a big assumption. But again, once the Gemara establishes its principle, this is how it works, this is how animals work, this is how people work, this is how it works. The way it works is, if there's a rooster in the area, every egg we assume is fertilized. So what is in the area? Meaning, you've got 500 women on 70th Street and one guy in, 110th Street. Is that in the area? So how far does this have to be? Amar Rav Gamda, Mishmid Rav, Kol Hecha, next page, Simon Base, Kol Hecha de Shemaya Kale B'Yamama. So Rashi says, Yakol Eino Nishma Bayom Kibalaila. That as long as it's as long as the chicken can hear, the hen can hear the rooster call during the day, then she's aware of his presence, and I guess that's how the magic happens. That's how the fertilization happens. I don't know exactly how they communicate. I guess I gotta do more research on that for next time. How exactly it's an interesting question, because how does the hen let the rooster know she's creating an egg?
As I say to her, I meant I'm not a farm girl.
No, I'm not asking you. I just happened to be looking at you when I said that. I wasn't picking on you. That's I don't know, because it has to be at a certain point. I mean, they really have to time it right, because as we talked about, that the chicken forms the beginning stages of the egg in their ovary, and then it goes through a tunnel, and then settles in the second area where the shell hardens. So it's gotta hit that sweet spot where it's gotta be fertilized as it goes through the tube. So.
And there's no exceptions. It doesn't matter if the rooster can't actually communicate like a normal rooster would, or a chicken, or the female can't hear the rooster. That's just the rule.
That's the rule.
No matter what the scenario is, right?
Once we have a rule, we have our rule, right? Meaning, even if you see a chicken lay a fertilized egg at night, it wouldn't change the fact that we have our rule. Mm-hmm. Right. No, we have our rule. So,
is the daytime, nighttime thing corroborated by modern zoology?
All right. Who wants to be the first one to Google that? That's how we do things in our class when those questions arise. I didn't look it up. I apologize. But if anyone would like to look into it, we can definitely look into that. So as long as they could hear it during the day, Avad Rav Mari Uvda Ad Shisin Bate. So it says 60 houses away. That's how far. So if it's within 60 houses, which, you know, it's pretty sizable distance. Rashi is Uvda Debadim Rav Yonta Velo Matze Vihishki Umatze Velo Haya Tarangol Zachar Ad Shisin Bate B'samach Rav Mari Al Tarangol Vihitir Tzabetza. So up to 60, if it's more than 60 away, then you assume that it's not fertilized. Vikinara Vikinara, or even if it's close in distance, but there is a river that separates the rooster from the hen, so we don't assume that the rooster is going to cross the river, right? But if there's a bridge, then we do assume across the bridge. So ihachi ki badak nami ema yatzte ruba v'chazor. He ki Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach from Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul amarav haytum shchika sakanta neguya. So in the end, the Gemara is saying, well, so then what's the difference between the two shitas? Remember, we said once it mutter, once it aser. If we're going to establish that there's different rules, I mean, it seems like the rules are pretty hard and fast. If there's a rooster within a certain distance, then everyone agrees it's fertilized, and then we have our 50-50 battle of chickens lay eggs during the day, but he checked. So why would one say asur, one would say mutter? So the Gemara says in the end, it comes down to this tiebreaker that we mentioned. When we talked about this idea that maybe the chicken had laid the egg erev yantif, and then the egg went back into the chicken when the farmer came and checked, and then laid the egg afterwards. So that really would be an egg that had been laid erev yantif. So that's the machlokes. Who could Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan lo shchiach. So Rabbi Yochanan doesn't buy that. That's basically what it comes down to. V'am Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul Rav hay tuma shchika sekant l'gluyah. So Rashi says. Rabbi Yochanan lo shchicha hilkach b'diga zachar kevin to kayim lan de'ena yoletis b'layla talina and Rabbi Yochanan aval b'saf l'mayara layla b'layla shchiach tvei meyatz deruba. So this 50-50, what I'm saying is this tiebreaker of the egg that was hatched and went back in, that only works as a tiebreaker. But if we're in a scenario where, let's say, it's an unfertilized egg, right? So if it's an unfertilized egg, then if all you have is, well, the owner checked, didn't see an egg, and the counter argument is, well, maybe the egg was laid and went back into the chicken, that's no longer 50-50, that's now, 98% to 2%, 90, whatever it is, so then you lose your chazakah. So anyway, this seems how we paskin, that if the egg is fertilized, then it's mutter, because we have the tiebreaker, and if it's not fertilized, then we say it's usr.
But again, you don't know on day one, so what do you do?
That's what it is. So if you think the egg is fertilized because there's a rooster in the area.
Oh, because there's rooster in the
area. Yeah,
that's the difference. If there's no rooster in the area, then
it's usher. Yeah, it's usher because it's plausible that it was late at night, that the egg was late at night. Mm-hmm. Okay. Questions, comments before we get into the story sheet? We're good? Yeah, we're good? Okay. So, a few questions we're showing to bring up that we haven't touched on yet. No, we'll just have to get to. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Rifa says as follows. Rabbi Yochanan Shchicha, perish. So what does that mean? Meaning here at the end, we just call it this idea of egg going back in. Perish lo shchicha kule hai, beledas laila besnaf namera. Because of the ritva, zel shen mashem rabo zel, the kevan di ilulu badak. So if he didn't check, let's say he didn't check the night before. Kevan shehishkim lo talinan beledas laila. So if this was an unfertilized egg, let's listen here. So it's an unfertilized egg, there's no rooster anywhere, but he didn't check the night before. Now he sees the egg in the morning. So he really has no idea. This could have been laid the day before. It could have been laid that night. He has no idea. So what do you assume then? So dila lo baduk, kevan shehishkim, lo tlim beledes laila, dilo shchicha. So then he can assume it was laid the day before, on Erev Yantiv, right? At the very least, you could say it's a 50-50, right? Maybe it was late during the day, maybe it was late at night. But since the Gemara is saying, well, even though, the Rif is saying, even though we said that a fertilized egg will always be laid during the day, and an unfertilized egg can be laid at night, does that mean there's equal chances late at night or during the day? Or does it mean, well, it can be late at night, but it's still more likely to be laid during the day? So the Rif is saying, no, it's more likely to be laid during the day still if it's unfertilized. It just means the possibility of being laid at night. Therefore, it's not 50-50 it was laid day or night. You have to lean towards being laid during the day. So therefore, if you find an egg in the morning, you can. It's not muksa, and they can eat the egg.
I didn't follow why he's saying it's more likely to be laid during the day.
So we established early on, right, the Gemara has this rule that animals that only mate during the day will only give birth during the day.
Right.
And animals that will only mate at night will only give birth at night.
But we're now not talking about mating because we're talking about unfertilized eggs.
Right. So the question is, this rule, does it mean that if it's not fertilized, now it's, you know, it's chaos, it could be day or night equally? Or does it mean, no, it's still more likely to be during the day because that's the nature of the animal, but it's not as hard and fast of a rule. It's still plausible. Mm-hmm. It still happens that it's laid during the day. That's the question.
So the answer is just because it's the nature of the animal that it's born
in. It's still more likely. And since you've got this egg in front of you, you got a suffix. You don't know.
Right, right.
So if it was a 50-50, then you'd have to say usher. But if you can say, well, it's 60-40 or 70-30 during the day, now I have percentages in one, you know, percentages in one side over the other, right? Okay. So lotan b'leil is a lila. Lo shchicha shemayin. Okay, shemayin de nach v'shalach beitzin liyisrael. Okay, so now let's take another kind of subject. Let's say yontif morning. You've got non-Jews selling freshly laid eggs. Okay. Now, as we talked about, when it comes to muksa, when it comes to no lud, it doesn't help you if a non-Jew. If the chicken was laid owned by a non-Jew, it's still no lud, right? It's muksa if something came into existence on Yontif. So it wouldn't help you if the non-Jew owned it, but it was laid on Yontif. It still would be usher to you. So what did you then? So shemin denach v'shalach beitzim liyisrael b'yontif. Ve'enam nikarim hayu me'ayom o me'etmol. You have no idea when was this egg from. It could have been from 2 days ago. You don't know exactly. They don't know exactly. Shehem utarim. So you assume so that you can use these eggs. Why? The b'may shchiach tfei talinan v'rov beitzin da'ama min hayamim she'avruhem v'kol de parish mirubal parish. Okay, so two rules here we're applying. Number one, we're applying Rove. Since most eggs are laid during the day, because now these eggs are a mix, they're going to be a mix of fertilized eggs and unfertilized eggs. And when you, so if fertilized eggs are 100% during the day, and even if you'll tell me that non-fertilized eggs are 50-50 night and day, still when you combine them, now you have roughly 75% of the eggs will have been laid during the day. Therefore, you can eat those eggs. Number one. Number two, it's called the parish Murba parish. Okay. So this will come up a little bit. So this is where we get into the hardcore Suffolk issues. So when it comes to Suffolk, we have two different principles. So two different ways it can happen. There's parish and kavua. You know these terms? You remember Suffolk and kavua?
I'm not sure I do.
Okay.
Suffolk is just doubt, right?
Suffolk is doubt, and kavua means established. Okay, so here's a general principle that applies throughout the world of Suffolk. And in Hillel's Kashrus, it's everywhere. So, when we can only apply rov in something that is parish, something that is separated or movable, but something that is firmly established, we cannot. So here's the classic example, okay? The classic example is, all right, let's take our falafel balls, okay? You have three falafel balls. I've never had food to do this, so this makes it even easier. Okay. All right, so I got three falafel balls. Now, everything I'm about to say is theoretical. I'm not casting dispersions on Grill 212 Restaurant. They all are really kosher. But let's pretend this one is not kosher. Okay? Right? Now I do three Carmonte on it. All right, do you remember which one is not kosher? Everyone put your $50 down, right? Uh-huh. So one of these is not kosher, two of them are kosher. So can I eat them? So we can follow Rove and I can eat all three. It's a machlokes. We've shown him, can I eat all three? Can I only eat two? Whatever. So, but let's say I can eat them. I can apply the rule of Rove when it's two versus one because they're movable. Now, let's say instead...
That's kind of strange, because then you know you automatically know that you're eating one that's not kosher.
Right, so that's what one of the opinions is, that you can eat two of them. Because if you eat three, then you know you're eating a non-kosher one. So you can eat two. You can eat any two. Uh-huh. But sometimes you eat all three. Once you play roof, they all become kosher. What?
Okay.
Right. When you say holchem after, so that's a big machlokes we've shown him when it comes to kashrus. But now let's change the scenario. Let's say I have three butcher shops, side by side. Two are kosher, one is not kosher. Right? I've got Yankees, I've got Moshi's, and I've got Vito's. And I've got a package of ground beef sitting on the floor in front of the stores. And no packaging, and there's no whatever. You know, who knows, maybe it fell out of the truck as it's being delivered. I don't know if it's from Moshe's, Yankees, or Vito's. So can I take this food? Can I take the meat? So then the answer is no, I can't. Since the meat came from a place that was established, it's kavua, it's not like metalton, it's not movable. So you can't apply rove for things that are not movable because they can't really get mixed up. They're always there. They're not mixed up. In order for something to be rove, it has to be ma'urav, it has to be mixed up, and now I can apply rove, right? It's like when you want to apply batel b'shishim. So I can only apply batel b'shishim if it's really a tarovitz, if it's mixed together, right? So, like, let's say this is non-kosher meat, and I drop it in the rice, right? Well, you can't say, well, there's 60-1 rice versus meat, non-kosher meat, therefore I can eat it. What do you mean? Just take the meat out. It's not a mixture. It's only, you only apply rove, you only apply these principles when there's a mixture. And the rule is, if something's kavua, like it's established, it's not, you can't apply these rules. It's not a tie roves. Okay, bringing us back to our case. So the Ritva says, well, here, these are clearly parish. These eggs were taken from all the different hens, packaged together, mm-hmm. brought out to sell in the market. That's clearly parish. So you can apply rove, and you can assume that the majority of these eggs will be will have been laid during the day. Therefore, you can eat any egg on Yantav itself, if it's sold by a non-Jew. Okay, let's go on here.
Yeah. I just wanted to know, but it's not visible to the naked eye if an egg is fertilized or not, right?
Not initially, right. After a few days, you know, something's growing in there, you can feel it. So, yeah, take whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah, go crazy. You want to have my...
Okay, I'll leave you with that. I'm
okay, fine. Don't take my non-kosher.
You want pickles?
Almost everything. So what was your question?
It's not visible to the naked eye.
Right, the first couple days, right. We're assuming these are freshly laid eggs. But I'm pretty sure that those in the egg business, they know when a fertilized egg can no longer be sold. That's been... Anyway, for a fertilized egg to really grow, though, it has to be incubated. So, the truth, even the fertilized eggs, once you take it out, once you take it away from the hen, mm-hmm. it's not going to grow and it'll still just stay an egg. Mm-hmm. There'll be a slight difference. There's a slight difference. There is a sac, you know, a small, like, sperm cells and sac inside there. Mm-hmm. But, so, if you ever see that in your egg, you know. All right. Okay, now, we're at the period.
What I have seen is I cracked an egg and it had, like, the shape of a fetus.
Really?
Yeah, and I asked the fetus.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like, you know, not a fully developed chick.
So?
You want salad?
No.
That's pretty rare. Actually, yeah. That's pretty rare, because that's already grown enough that...
But I heard it was dealt with in the Gemara.
Right.
Whether it's kosher.
No, yeah. At what point does it become a... Yeah, we talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago. We didn't get the exact definition, but... I'm not sure you want to eat it. Okay. V'lo, ela filu halach sham Yisrael, ulacha mi beit tel. Lo amrinan kedem rinan b'ksuvos heicha de azla... Even if the Jew goes to the non-Jew's home, goes to the non-Jew's chicken coop and grabs it. Meaning we said that it's parish, it's separated because they gathered these eggs and they brought them to the Jews, they separated them. So let's say the egg is still sitting in their home. So would you call that kavua? It hasn't been separated yet. The hasim hu di itchazik vadai pasav afiluchad aval hachak. So he says, even if you went to the chicken coop, even if you went to the non-Jew's farm, into the chicken coop, picked up a chicken and grabbed the egg underneath it, right? You could still eat it because that egg would still have a chazaka that it was from the previous day. Because the only scenario we really had where you're going to have a problem is if a Jew came in and checked was there an egg going into Erev Yontif. Since we're going to reasonably assume the non-Jewish farmer has no reason to do that, so he's just going to have an egg that's a suffix when it was hatched, when it was laid, and therefore we assume it was laid the day before. So basically, most scenarios, you can use this egg if it's a suffix when it was laid. Now the tzlach brings up a separate issue. What some other Rishonim, but now he gets into a separate issue. Which goes back to sugi we did a few weeks ago. The third source of the tzlach is the Nod de Bihuda, basically the chief rabbi of Prague. And as I've talked about, what's complicated with names of Svarim is that very often you'll see the same person with different names and you don't even know that they're the same people. Right? So they would use a different name. Tzlach is his commentary in the Gemara. The Nod Yehuda is what he used when he wrote his Shalos Tshuvos. The Degel Morvava is what he used when he did his commentary in Shulchan Aruch. It's all the same person, right? He just has different names for different commentaries.
That's why you need librarians.
What? librarians, exactly.
Catalogers.
You think, have some consistency. You have to come up with all these names. I don't know. It just seems so much easier. Just be one thing, You know, marketers would hate this, alright? Like, it's not good branding. You know what I mean? It is not good branding to have different names for all your different
Svara. Your cataloging is very complex.
Yeah. So, I don't know why they did it. I'm curious why they did this. Mm-hmm. Even like the Mishnah Berurah, it's like, he's got the Berulach and the Mishnah Berurah, the Sharatian. It's all him. It's just, call this thing.
But the Berulach is the name of the Perush, right? Oh, that's different from the name of the author.
Right, right. And well, they're all the name of the parish, but
yeah,
right. That's true. Okay, so let's lach. Kilo badak, emamet malhu. So if you didn't check Erev Yantif, then you can say the egg was possibly laid the day before, and therefore it's mutter. V'af agav to davar sheish lamatirin. Ah, okay. So now we have to bring up another sugi we dealt with a few dapim ago. Davar sheish lamatirin. Just to review, so davar sheish lamatirin is a principle where if something is usher now but will become mutter, then you can't eat it, even if it becomes mixed in with other things. Okay, so. So the example we're discussing here was the beitza, on yantif. So if your beitza that was laid on yantif got mixed in with many other things, so the discussion was, well, you can't eat any of the eggs. Meaning, if one egg laid on yantif got mixed in with 100 eggs that were from before yantif, you can't eat any of the eggs because that one's going to make them all muksa. Why? Because davar sheish lamatirin, all you do is wait a day or two till after yantif, and then they're fine. So they're within the principle of just with davar sheish lamatirin, and then we'll become mutter. So the question here is, well, wait a second, why are we getting into this whole thing? Shouldn't they all be usher? Shouldn't all these eggs be usher? If I have a suffix, if this egg was laid on yantif or before yantif, it's going to be mutter afterwards. Just wait a day or two. So I shouldn't apply the rules of suffix and rov for Simmons davar sheish lamatirin. So that's what, and this is brought up in many different rishonim and achronim. So why isn't this davar sheish lamatirin? That's a good question. So it says avagav dehu davar sheish lamatirin afa pikein as linen basaruba. Even though you can still base that on rov. Why? Vayim betosus v'divrei maskil kilo badak. So Tosfos asked this question. So if you look here on Zion and Mabez, so you see inside the three-line Tosfos. So Kilo Badak, you see, it's the Kilo Badak Emor Metzim Lahave Vim Tomar Vabetz Devar Sheish Lamatirin Im Ken Svik L'Chumar. So Tosfos asked this question: if it's Devar Sheish Lamatirin, the Sevik should be Yasser. V'Yesh Lomar the Shani Hachemashim De Gam Ki Saf Nameyara Shchiach Diyo Ledes Beyom Yoter Mi Balayla. So Tosfos says, kind of what we mentioned earlier, that since even the non-fertilized egg, it's still more likely that it'll be laid during the day than at night. Therefore, it's not a suffix. Okay, he's saying a suffix is a 50-50. If it's 80-20, so then it's not a suffix anymore. It's not really rove in the same way. At that point, it's just an assumption. So you can so even though it's davar sheish lamatirin, you can still say it's mutter. So that's Tosfos' answer. Okay, back to the tzlach. V'zeh lashon Aran. This is the Aran understands it. Meha mashma da'afilu b'davar sheish lamatirin b'dirabanan azin b'aser ruba fa'af agav davar sheish lamatirin afilu b'elfo batel shani hacha d'loit chazik isura. So this is the tzlach says, in order for something to even get to the point of suffix, there has to be a reason to assume it's usher. Okay? It has to have, well, we could say it's usher because of this, or mutter because of that, now we have a suffix. So when we have an earlier, for a fertilized egg, if he checks it an Erev Yantif, so now we have a problem. We have two chazakas. We have the chazaka that it's mutter, or the chazaka that it's mutter is that... The chazaka that it's mutter is that fertilized eggs will be laid during the day. The chazaka that's usher is that, well, they checked the chicken coop, Erev Yantif, nothing was there. So then you have two chazakas. When you have a chazaka of usher and chazaka of mutter, and then you're really applying rov, you're applying principles. But here, the Ran is saying, but if it doesn't have any chazaka to think that it's usher, then there's not really a suffix, and you don't have to even get into davar sheish lamatirin. So here, since it's an unfertilized egg, since it's so much more likely that this egg was laid during the day than at night, I don't have, and he didn't check going into yantif, he didn't check the chigdu going into yantif, to establish, well, it must be yesterday because the egg wasn't there. Without that, all you have is, well, what's more likely? It's well, more, way more likely it was from the day before. It's from the day before. Therefore, you don't even get into Dover Shay Slim Matirin.
Yeah, this would be clear with a flow chart.
I really, you know what I've said? I really need a whiteboard in this room.
I know.
I really do. And I know. I asked for a whiteboard, they put a big TV. I don't know. I'm like, that kind of helps, but yeah, we have a wall space issue in this.
In the city.
Well, they come on wheels also.
That's true. Maybe yeah. I do need a whiteboard. I have terrible handwriting, so it probably wouldn't help. But in theory, it could help. That's true. You put on wheels. Okay, but that makes sense. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Veni Omer. The Rambam, so what's the Rambam say? So shugizo, shesugizo, b'emet aza liba danach marai le'il daf gimon beis. So the Rambam looks at the sugya the way just like the sugya on daf gimon on beis. The muki hach b'risa the sveka asura b'safik treifa. There we had a case of safik asura like a safik treifa. About safik yantif the safik rabbanon who. So basically, the Rambam holds that when it comes to derabbanans, we're not machmir for davar sheish matirin. When it comes to derabbanans, aval didan the savli kravashi davar sheish matirin afil b'derabbanan sveiko aser lo azlin abaseru. But here the problem is that's not how we paskin. We do paskin that even for derabbanans, we're machmir for davar sheish matirin. Vim came afilu ika zachar. So he thinks the Rambam, even in all these scenarios, should say that this egg is aser. Because, you know, the Ran has this idea that it's only a suffix if you have a chazakah that makes it aser. But the Rambam doesn't have any such idea. So according to the Rambam, as long as there is a viable possibility that this egg was laid on the night on Yontif itself, you should apply the Rishayish L'Matirin. Im kem chashinam, shema etmol yotza ruba v'alayla no de legamre. Farahikit ladasa Rambam, beitza shel de Yontif. Madar minim b'shmeisin de Rabbi Yochanan, lo shchicha hainu de loz linin l'kula litlo she yotza ruba v'chazir. Val, l'chumra chashinam b'dav Rishayish L'Matirin. Afil b'milsa d'loshchicha l'kach lega shum nafkus l'dina pa'ach the kol tashmish v'yom v'lachein hishmit Rambam kozel l'gamre. So the reason the Rambam doesn't mention this whole sugya is because he probably would have to be machmir on it, and it's not so clear what he would do. So the end of the Rambam doesn't paskin. But we got two answers why it's not davar sheish l'matirin. Tosfos says it's not davar sheish l'matirin because it's not really a 50-50. It's well, the percentages lean way towards this having been laid during the day. And according to the Ran, since there's never chazakah of Aser, since the farmer didn't check the coop an Erev Yontif, so therefore there's no reason to ever get into a suffix, because all you have is percentages. When all you have is percentages, that's not a suffix. That's just, okay, what's the higher percentage? That's what we do. It's not really a suffix, according to the Ran. Okay. Alright, so let's get to the second page and we'll wrap up with this. The Parche Kehuna. It's an interesting statement. It's not a sefer you'll see very often. Written in the 20th century. He died in 1959, the age of like 58. He's pretty young. So as follows.
Who is this?
I forgot his name. His it was a Cohen. I forgot his name, but I'll have to look up his name. He died in 1959 in Eretz Yisrael. Rutzel Omar. Shamba Gemara filu bod yafa yafa emor yatz. That Rutzel Omar filu Omar de bodik yafa yafa muteres mishim dermina yatz the ruba v'chazra. So we said that even if you checked it very well, you could still say it's mutter, because the tiebreaker would be maybe the egg came out and went back in. V'chayin perish harav birchas Hashem udeloki harav zayro shel Avraham sheperish meitam sveika shema lo badek yafa v'im temtzalomar badek yafa shema yatzda v'chazra. So he understands this differently. They're saying, no, it's not that there's a tiebreaker. It's that we're creating a sveik sveika. So a sveik sveika means a double suffix, right? So one suffix will say, okay, 50-50, we need to have a tiebreaker. However, if it's a suffix on top of a suffix, then that's called a sveik sveika, and that becomes mutter without any other factors. So he's saying we're creating a sveik sveika. One suffix is, well, maybe he didn't, so it said, Shema lo bodek yafa. Vimtem salam bodek yafa, Shema yasev achazra. Number one, maybe he didn't check very well. Maybe his bedika wasn't that great. And number two, even if his check was very good, maybe the egg had been laid before Yantif, went back in, and then came back out. Those two sveikos are enough to create a sveik sveika, and he's saying that's why the Gemara is saying this case is mutter. Ayin sham. The zev is sveik sveika, misham, echa le kol ha sveikos, shema yatsa miyetmo, ohayom, elevade below sveik sveika, nami muteris, the akarkach yatsa edmo. El demash air alav harav vichat Hashem, then I have a suffix in Bata Yafa. Ubarilo Shabbat Hetiv. So wait a second. How can you create a suffix? Well, maybe his check wasn't that good. This whole thing is working on the assumption that it was a good check. If it wasn't a good check, there's no chazaka in the first place. There's no chazaka, what were you talking about? So you can't create a suffix fake by saying, well, maybe he didn't check well. Well, if we really don't think he checked well, then there's no reason to think it's usher, and then there's no suffix, it's mutter. Ein shalini shtati lo kasha. Then nan lo yidinam im bad yafo lo. And we don't fake svika shem lo bad yafo lo. Some bad yafo. Gamash kesef the mandamer fake svika in sham nishlomar tadem rin and shem lo bad yafo mit starif im at sad di et siya ruba mehani yafo gav lo shchiach uve lo ze ha mini yase ruba lo mani hu lo shchiach. So he's saying, no, that can't be what it is. What you can do with that idea, you can't add that on for another percentage point. Meaning we said we had this 50-50 battle. And the extra 1% was, well, maybe the egg came back, went out and came back in. And that was the tiebreaker. And we said, well, since it's 50-50, you can make it even 51-49. So they know, what you can say is, add another 1%. Well, maybe it didn't check very well. And it's only a 1% possibility. But if we can add another, you know, I'm saying, if we add enough of these half percents, whatever it is, we had enough little things that can add up to now tipping the odds in one side over the other, then therefore you can say that it's mutter. So it's not a sveik sveika literally. You can't say, well, you can't take two very unlikely things and create a sveik sveika over it. A sveik sveika has to be two reasonable things that can happen. You can't take two far-flung cases, maybe it didn't check well, and maybe the egg went back in and create a sveik sveika out of it. Those are too obscure than the lo shriach. But you can take them and join them together and create a greater, like, you know, create a greater group, a larger group of reasons to tip it one side over the other. That makes sense?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. All right, we'll stop here. So we're off next week.